Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And there's been a lot of binging and cringing on my part. I know after I listened and rewatched The Office, I decided to watch all of the British episodes. I haven't gotten through all of them, but sometimes one forgets what words and phrases are acceptable on the BBC that are not used here.
There's a different...
It's a whole different...
Yeah. Yep.
Bag of chips and fish.
Shall we say.
So much so where it's almost startling. Still funny.
Jarring, if you... Well,
yes,
I mean,
it's just jarring to your ear.
If you're used to the standards and practices
yes.
of, like, say, a CBS or ABC,
mm-hmm.
it probably will take you aback, like, mm-hmm. just a little.
Still funny, though. But be prepared, and if you want to watch it. Plus, it's Bilbo. Bilbo is Jim, but instead of Jim, he's
and Ricky,
Tim.
Ricky Gervais.
And Ricky Gervais is Ricky Gervais. So there.
Speaking
is
of
that.
Which, he's got a what is it? Child support with, I believe it's Fred Savage.
Yes.
They're rebooting TGIF. Like I want to say it's this Friday, maybe this
really?
Upcoming. Yeah.
Well, like, I've seen Child Support.
Well, maybe it was last Friday then.
Oh, not like on Friday. I've seen one or two episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they had done like a preview for it. But
okay,
I believe,
maybe that's all I saw.
I think that's what they're trying to relaunch TGIF on Fridays again. Like
for those who don't know, like Anna Grace, do you know what TGIF is?
Thank God it's Friday.
That, but
actually, I believe it stood for Thank Goodness It's Funny. Like in that particular
in TV parlance.
Back when I think Family Matters, Full House. Boy Meets World, and I think Sabrina the Teenager.
I didn't watch
any
of it.
It was a rotating set of like four sitcoms on the 7 to 9 block on ABC on Fridays.
Much like the far more entertaining must-see TV.
TGIF was a kind of a family-friendly version of that.
Which is like, why I never watched
must-see TV had like, let's see, what was it? Cosby, Seinfeld, Friends...
I just watched the Seinfeld.
The Office, Scrub. Yeah. Like it was kind of like it was NBC's like rotating thing of like popular sitcoms.
Okay, so I started playing something. Let me first start about something that I've only seen the trailer for, and I'm so excited, I can't stand it. All right, you know who?
Cinema Firmament. I'm sorry. Don't tangent somebody that is so easily and almost willfully thrown into, especially about a movie like Singing in the Rain.
Which
like,
is awesome.
We could do a separate podcast on Singing in the Rain.
And I can't stand it. I can't stand him. Anyway, Neil Gaiman, go.
What do you want to know about like The Sandman? Like American God, like what do you want to know? Like
okay, Neil Gaiman,
his work on Batman, like you need to give me a direction because
see?
It's 360 degrees.
Now, Anna Grace, I told you Neil Gaiman. For you, I mentioned Stardust because I knew you'd seen the movie that you apparently forgot all
yes.
about and said it
that
sounded like Tangled.
Remarkably, reminded me of Princess Bride when I saw it. Like it's a
oh.
when I saw Stardust. I really felt like it was kind of a modern version of it. It's a heavily influenced with fantasy, but it's a genuinely funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, and I don't want to ruin anything, and I know it's like an 11-year-old movie at this point, Robert De Niro, like, did not see that coming in Stardust. Like,
now I need to know how old the movie is.
2007, I want to say 2008.
Well, enough that I don't remember it.
Stardust is worth it. It went under the radar when it came out.
Yeah, and I don't know why.
It actually has a really like solid cast. But if you enjoy if you saw Princess Bride and said this is a film I enjoy,
2007. You're right.
It reminded me a lot of it. It's got a lot of those ingredients in there, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me. I first became aware of him many, many, many moons ago when my bestie, Wendy, you know Wendy from high school?
Well, I do. I don't know if everyone else does.
You, Adam actually does know Wendy. Wendy and I met the first day, first period of high school. We happened to sit next to each other, inseparable since then. And Wendy loves the British humor, as do I. She may be even
as
more
should
so.
Everyone.
She may even love it more than I do. And she said, you got to read this book. Neil Gaiman and some other guy wrote this book called Good Omens. I want to say Terry Pratchett.
That they are turning into... Oh, okay, I see where you're going with it now. Yeah.
And Good Omens sounds like it would be not funny when I happen to say you've got an angel and a demon who are kind of buddies because they love Earth.
And I will tell you, maybe in somebody else's incapable hands, like, it wouldn't be.
But it's funny.
Neil Gaiman, I'm telling you, just look for that guy's name.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is, he did a comic book series called Sandman. He wrote several issues of Batman proper, like in DC a couple of years. Like, I have honestly never encountered something that he is a part of that I thought was a waste of time. Remarkably gifted writer, like, just... I'd love to live inside that man's head for 5 minutes just to see what's going on. But like you were saying, Good Omens is one of those particular things, and it's not a waste of your time.
No, I have read it 3 to 5 times because I find it just that funny. It's one of those things that just makes me giddy inside because it's so clever, and I could do a master's thesis on anything you like about Good Omens because you can bring in so much stuff. But the main story is these angels find out, hey, the Antichrist is being born. That means the end times, and that means Earth is going to go away. Kind of sucks for us because we really like it here.
It's almost a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern for the apocalypse,
and Grace,
if you will.
You'll appreciate this. My sister had to read Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead for high school and just didn't want to do it. And I was in 7th or 8th grade and read it over and over by choice. Nerd test, I passed. Very funny. Anywho.
It's something else that's well worth your time.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff in high school that, like, The Scarlet Letter. You can argue this with me if you want to, and I mean anybody out there, it's a terrible book. It's boring. Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Billy Budd. Awful.
Now, the Count of Monte Cristo.
Excellent.
Anything Alexandre Dumas, like, wrote, that guy knew how to make a page turner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, that is a book that, like, was not required by my high school curriculum, but I would have ate that up right there.
Oh, yeah. And, oh.
Putting out here with another terrible book, Animal Farm. I had to read that, and I hated every second of it.
I used to think that was like the... It has something to do with Animal House, and I constantly, as you know, mix that up.
That was the sequel.
It is
like,
not.
Where after they had graduated college, they all bought a farm and...
By the way, because of the song Three, Mac the Knife, I read Three Penny Opera because I wanted to know where the characters are from. Entertaining, but I digress. Good Omens, you got these, the angel and the demon, and they're kind of bummed about the whole Antichrist thing and, you know, Armageddon, and Bruce Willis isn't even around to help them. And so they decide to, you know... avert it. Now, this is a series. I don't know, because there's a conclusion in the book, so I don't know if it's just to be a limited run. Here it is. It's the book.
Or if it's expanding on it, like, from that, like, they're doing a Watchmen series at HBO.
Yes.
But it doesn't encompass the miniseries. It's kind of a what happened after that. And I guess, like, whenever you buy the rights to it,
you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So you have Michael Sheen, who most Americans will recognize as Wesley, who Liz Lemon did not marry, even though he kept showing up in 30 Rock.
I hated him so much.
And you have
David Tennant,
who is quite the rock star in this as the demon. And
quite, I mean, that's honestly, that cast right there should excite you.
It should. I've watched the trailer over and over.
It's the same as me saying that, like, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart are playing, and then literally whatever I say follows. Like, those two together should excite you.
What's the show they did where they play the gay couple? It's hilarious.
Is it the I don't know. They did a run of a couple different plays in the Old Vic, I believe.
I thought it was on the television. I'll look into it. But anyway, it was funny.
I'll believe it.
I digress. So that's the story. I encourage you to read Good Omens. It's highly entertaining. And what I've seen of this trailer is just, I am over the moon about it. And it also tells me, Amazon Prime, you told me about the Lord of the Rings stuff. Is that 2020 or 2019?
I
think it's 2020.
With the amount of pre-production that you're going to have to do, even if they said 2019,
yeah,
legitimately, I would say 2020 probably.
So when Amazon Prime first primed, it was kind of, eh. It was like, yeah, I got this stuff, but I'm really using it for the shipping. Now, I've become quite fond of what's on Amazon Prime.
Much
and it's
too
usually
fond.
It's usually the original stuff.
Now, if you will look at what a lot of the fledgling networks, I guess, like back in the day, originally Nickelodeon did not have a lot of its own original programming. Mm-hmm. They were showing like cartoons from like the 70s. Like they were kind of importing all this stuff and making money off that. Now, when they had built up enough money showing like things in syndication or reruns or whatever, eventually they did dip their toe in, start doing like Nicktoons, like your Rugrats, Doug, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Eventually, like, unless you've got like, you know, Jeff Bezos footing the bill, like for this, you probably don't get to go out of the gate with a bunch of original programming. Netflix did not even start that way. Like, you build up a couple of high-profile ones, maybe get some Emmy nominations, or you just rake up some ridiculous ratings, and you get to go into it with that. Now, Amazon Prime, as of late, has really been ramping up mm-hmm. their original content.
Really? Because we're all about Jack Ryan, and there are some others that I simply haven't had the chance to watch yet. I did watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. 8 Emmys? A lot of Emmys. Multiple yeah. Emmys. Certainly worth your time. Yeah. And I have not yet seen King Lear with, you know, Hannibal Lecter.
I'm pretty sure that's worth at least a watch.
Now, Goliath is slow but entertaining.
That's the one with Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really want to see the Agatha Christie one, Ordeal by Innocence, because it's Agatha Christie.
This is neither here nor there. Speaking of Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express is getting a sequel with Kenneth Branagh.
Like it is?
They have signed on some big names to it as well. I think Gal Gadot is going to be one of the characters on it.
Wonder Woman. Well, I'm already sold.
It is honestly like they're putting some big names into it. Like I was sad that was just probably going to be a one-off, but I guess it made enough money that as long as they will keep being money makers, mm-hmm. like Branagh is interested in continuing to serialize like all of the Agatha Christie novels.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Like that's an expanded universe. Like I'm interested in right there.
Yes, and that sounds to me a lot like Agatha Christie. Never should have gone away, but it's kind of making a comeback. Even more so.
I mean,
as long as he doesn't butcher it.
How many times was Murder on the Orient Express remade? Like
a gajillion.
There's a BBC version. You have an Oscar nominated one that had. What is it? Daddy Warbucks in it. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, that guy.
It'll come to me later. And anyways, like Agatha Christie, I don't think ever goes away completely. She's almost like the Ninja Turtles. Like
mm-hmm. she's always there. Somewhere.
About every 8 years, somebody like reboots it, revamps it, releases a film, does a TV series. Like maybe not a PlayStation 2 like arcade beat 'em up with Agatha Christie. Like that's probably just exclusive to the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd check it out at least once, yeah.
Now, I'm a huge fan of Chris O'Dowd. He is Irish. And there you go. Now, he stars in The IT Crowd, which is available for streaming and hilarious. And he also stars in something that I think I'm the only one who's watched. It's on Hulu. It's done with. It's just two seasons. And it's called Moon Boy, M-O-O-N-E. And the thing is, he is the invisible friend of this 12-year-old.
Sure.
And he's hilarious. And other people also have invisible friends. And the invisible friends can see each other. And
That's interesting.
See? And it's just, it's clever. It's different. He's Chris O'Dowd being as hilarious as you can imagine. And he's got there's kind of a big take on it in that he's a grown man, invisible friend, but he's like a 12-year-old boy, and they're just having fun together. And it's...
Did you ever see the movie, I think it was Little Monsters? Had mm-hmm. Howie Mandel and Fred Savage in it.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me a lot of that.
Well, it's worth your time. It's filmed, obviously, in the UK, so you got a lot of that going on. And sometimes you might want to turn on the subtitles just because, you know, you got to train your ear to catch all of that.
If it is a hop in the pond, you can almost be guaranteed a healthy dose of dry wit.
Very much so. And I just really, really enjoyed watching it. Now, there is another show that's on Hulu that I did see all of, and I enjoyed to an extent, but not to a giddy extent that I enjoyed Moon Boy, and it's called Deadbeat. And the idea behind Deadbeat is you've got this stoner guy who legit can see and communicate with ghosts.
Sure, yeah.
And so, naturally, he doesn't really solve crime, but he's a real ghost seer. And then there are those who are faking it. But they're making money, and he isn't. He is, essentially, he's a deadbeat. He's got nothing going for him, but he really can see ghosts.
So it's not unlike the film Ghost, where... Because Whoopi Goldberg only pretends that she can see ghosts in that movie until... She can actually see mm-hmm. ghosts.
Like, he really can. And oddly enough, Danny DeVito's daughter is in it for a few episodes, and then she becomes a ghost. Spoiler. But...
Or like the Frighteners, Michael J. Fox movie that Peter Jackson did back in 95, 96. But
Lord of the Rings.
It's like very similar to Ghostbusters, but... instead of them busting the ghosts are in on the con. Like,
yes.
They find people to exploit. The ghosts go and haunt that house mm-hmm. under Michael J. Fox's direction. He goes in, does a little exorcism, gets them to pay him. But again, the ghosts are in on it with him. Like, mm-hmm. almost like an Ocean's 11 meets Ghostbusters. Like, there's a con going on there. Really good early Peter Jackson movie. If you haven't seen The Frighteners, like, check that thing out.
Yeah, I enjoyed that immensely. Now, there's one other thing that is a bit off the beaten path that I'm trying to tell you correctly which streaming service it is on. I will tell you that it stars James Corden. And it's called The Wrong Mans. And what The Wrong Mans is, it's a British TV show. And it is on Hulu. You can pay for it elsewhere. But it's all mistaken identity. It's James Corden, and the other guy is Matthew Bainton. I said Philip for no reason. But Dawn French has a wee bit in it. And they're buddies, and James Corden is the guy in the office. He may be the janitor, but he's the guy that no one really wants to hang out with, but he wants to have all the parties. He's not Les Nessman. He just wants to be friends with everyone, and no one wants to have any time with him because they're all too self-involved, but his one friend. And his one friend is seeing this girl who clearly isn't the one for him, and she's a bit of a jerk. But this is going to be far more accessible to those who maybe aren't as into British humor. And it's James Corden, the James Corden, before Carpool Karaoke. And they are, I think they come upon the scene of an accident, and so they... A phone is ringing, and they answer it.
Corden is legitimately another funny
yes.
British personality. Or, I mean, he's a funny personality, period, British or otherwise. Like, if you have not seen his show, you should.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. Andy Richter.
Again.
Almost kind of, think of him as a British Andy Richter.
Yes.
Or Andy Richter is the British or the American, however mm-hmm. you want to look at that. Andy Richter has had some success. Like, if you ever saw Andy Richter Saves the World.
Yes.
Like, another very short-lived thing. Like, he had a couple of sitcoms whenever.
That I loved.
It was right when he stopped being the co-host or whatever.
With Conan.
Well, is it? Was he the co-host? Am I thinking right?
Or yeah, now
was
he's
there
back
a different
with
name? Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. He was the co-host with there. Always exceptionally funny. I think tried to branch out, maybe make his own name. And then at the end of the day, I think he realized, like, both of them are funnier when the two of them are together.
Mm-hmm. So James Corden is the goofball, but the always sunny personality. And he and his very uptight best friend, I believe they pick up a phone, and whoever's on the other end, they're spies or something's going on, and they give vague answers, and they're confused, but no one ever believes them. All this stuff happens. No one believes them because they truly are not the wrong man, but the wrong man's. And they end up, I think, in Mexico, actually. It's very funny. And James Corden's character is very happy to stay there.
I would. You could probably draw a parallel between Simon Pegg and who else is it that does the Hot Fuzz?
Yeah.
What is his name?
I don't know. I can
see
him. The
one that
though.
He always. I cannot think of the guy. He's the one that works with Simon Pegg and did at World's End, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm. I can see him.
It'll come to me later. But like, if you like the two of them together, you will probably mm-hmm. like this as well. Again, another set of like a British pair that are well worth your time anytime they do anything. Like if it is a commercial for a Cadillac. You should watch it, too.
Yes. And seeing as I'm kind of on a British bent, I just want to throw out there some of my early influences. Benny Hill.
Yep.
It's called Yakety Sax, Anna Grace, that song. Benny Hill, just funny. And I can't even tell you why, but he is. And then, of course, Monty Python.
Yep.
For me, I find their TV shows funnier than their movies. And I find talking about their movies funnier than maybe actually watching them. Does that make sense? Like, as you relive it, it's funnier to me.
I think, like, their films are almost, like, feel sometimes like a collection of bits.
Yes.
And, like, they're in and out on Flying Circus. Like,
yes.
It's almost like Kids in the Hall and Saturday Night Live. Like, they don't overstay their welcome there, but when you're trying to assemble a 2-hour or an hour and a half or whatever mm-hmm. narrative, the joke a minute or whatever their average is there mm-hmm. gets spaced out because like with a film, you have to have a story and you've got to,
right.
you have to fill it up with, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever your film lasts. And you can't necessarily do that with a feature length.
That's
film.
Probably why Holy Grail is my favorite, just because, you know, oh, I didn't vote for you. I mean, it's a story we all know.
Yeah.
And so that the story in and of itself is funny.
Which I think also worked very well for Mel Brooks. Like he would take things that you knew and then kind of extrapolate from there.
Mm-hmm.
Which like did a lot of the narrative work for him anyways and just kind of let him punch in jokes or parody or whatever mm-hmm. like on top of that.
So if... I'll be honest, I haven't yet pushed the Monty Python on my children yet because...
Yes, you have. You've tried.
Not. I haven't gone hardcore on you. I've pulled back a lot of my brainwashing because I don't want it to go awry.
You have to find the proper junction point for British humor because it's not for everybody.
No, it isn't.
And if you sour them on the wrong thing, they're not going to want to try anything.
Which is annoying. Now, Jenna, she is right there with me with the Ministry of Silly Walks. That hit her right at the right spot. She loves Ministry of Silly Walks. For me, all I have to hear in my head is the larch. That's funny to me. I can't tell you why. It's a whole bit, lasts about 3 minutes, but the larch. It's just funny.
I've been using Mr. Bean to try to work it in with the kids. Like just understanding that everything is not like that Americanized like humor.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen Bean, they've seen Mr. Bean's Holiday. Johnny English is coming up.
Now what about Blackadder? I mean you're under
I have not done Blackadder yet.
Oh my God, so funny.
Yet.
Same guy, Rowan Atkinson.
They're still young.
Yeah. So British, it's different. If you haven't ever really dabbled in the British humor, it is different. It is dry.
Oh, it is dry like a wheat cracker. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you need to understand like that. That's why I say not all of it is for everybody. Like I think if you do get in the right junction point, you can kind of be walked to it, but it's so jarringly different, it puts off a lot of people before they're used to it.
Mm-hmm. And you now, of course, again, I say subtitle it because much like reading Shakespeare, once you read a lot of it, you kind of get into it and it all makes sense all at once. It's like learning a different language. You have to get into the different rhythms of British comedy. And
you also have like colloquialisms and stuff that you may not be privy to because you don't live in, you know, Westminster.
Yes. So there's a lot of things that are maybe not new, but are new to you that you can stream that are very, very funny.
And I mean, there's a lot of it. I mean, you've got decades worth of it. And if you have not like scratched the surface on that, it might be worth your time to do a deep dive on.
Mm-hmm. And speaking, we'll keep it British before we wrap things up. You've got 26-27 years of Doctor Who that you can deep dive on. And they're all going to be radically different. And the next Doctor makes her debut in November.
That sounds correct.
The first female Doctor.
And I mean, again, you're talking about decades worth of Doctor Who.
See, now Anna Grace wants to see Doctor Who. I think we're just going to jump in and start with Tennant's Doctor Who.
I mean, that wouldn't be a problem.
Again, like we were talking about jarringly different. Doctor Who has been around so long, like they recorded over some of the VHSs they had the episodes on. Like, that's how old this thing was. Like, home video didn't exist. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's black and white. Like, and it predates the original Star Trek as well. Doctor Who, does it not?
Let me check. Because
I want to say
I started
early 60s?
Probably. I knew the curly-haired guy, who I can't tell you who he is, and it was kind of cheesy, but he had really big eyes, and it looked like a Harpo wig. That's the Doctor Who I knew.
The special effects were not cutting edge.
No.
It's the stories that that's what connected. Much in the same way, the original Star Trek did not have access to, like, millions and millions of dollars every week, but it's the narrative that hooked those people that have been fans since like 1966, or that maybe they picked it up in the 70s with the movies or whatever.
Oh, I have Doctor Who season 11 has debuted, at least on the BBC.
I've not started know which Doctor to start
was
on.
Season 11 is going to be inclusive for newbies on BBC America.
When was the
that's what original? I'm trying to look
at. That's what I'm wanting to. I really do think we're talking about like early 60s, possibly even late 50s.
Where's you the stupid Wikipedia?
The reason why I say all of this, you do not have to start from the beginning with Doctor Who.
Right. That's
I would
point.
Suggest like the most recent iteration, or at least like the one that we are in the 11th season of now, start at the beginning there.
1963.
Oh, okay.
See, okay.
To 1989 was the first originally ran program.
So a lot of folks will start in 2005.
That is where I would suggest beginning. Like, if you see that, you consume it, and you do like me, and whenever you get into something, you have... Like, when I got into Star Trek The Next Generation, like, eventually I had to watch all of Deep Space Nine. I had to watch all of Voyager. I had to watch all of the original series. I had to watch the animated series. I had to watch Enterprise. And then, like, it just... You kind of grow into it there, but you have to have the proper thing to jump on it with. And I think, again, the 63 Doctor Who is probably a little bit too much of a loss in translation. Get a respect. Get like a familiarity with the property and then go there. Start in the, was it 2005?
Yes.
Re-establishing. Start there. That is probably the best way to do it.
And then you've got, 13 years of it to get through.
Well, and
I got
that,
through
13
years of Supernatural, I can do it again.
That's just if you're doing the current Doctor Who and you don't decide to go for the 63 to, what was it, 89?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's plenty of Who, guys.
Exactly.
There are plenty. There's probably more Who than there is episodes of Star Trek. Possibly.
True that. Now, for those who don't know, Doctor Who is when you see the thing that looks like a phone booth, but it's
except
all blue.
It's blue, and it's
got
called
the sonic
TARDIS.
Screwdriver.
Yeah, and Doctor Who is a time traveler, and that's why Doctor Who can always look different. Does Doctor Who change? What's the thing? Changes bodies.
He changes bodies. Yeah.
I thought he would die.
No,
I don't know if
he never
well, but he would die and
that,
then was three
that
more.
Iteration of him dies, and then like his consciousness is transported.
Yes. Over.
That's the reason why
it's like when a ghost possesses someone. It's like, hello, I have your memories now.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. Or that's probably the best parlance.
He's a time traveler, and there you go. And not British, but speaking of reboots, it's all over the internets. 20 years later, there's going to be a new Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And people are going to complain.
Yes. And again, I have not shown all of it to my children.
But if I'm remembering correctly, Joss Whedon is participating in this.
So, and so I'm all for it.
I'm going to take y'all back to 1987. Gene Roddenberry was participating in a new Star Trek.
And
oh, my
happy.
Goodness. People lost their mind. No one else can play these characters. No one else can inhabit. James Kirk, Spock, McCoy, these are the only Star Trek. Get it out of my sight.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before.
I'm just saying, like, the creator of the original, Joss Whedon, who knows a thing or two about...
stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Buffy. Honestly, pretty Angel, Buffy... He did two reasonably popular films. You may have seen them. Marvel's The Avengers and Age of Ultron. Like, they made a couple dollars, as I understand it.
A few.
If Joss Whedon and even the guy that played Angel, David...
Boreanaz.
Yeah. He has even said, like, I guess somebody had jumped on it on one of the comic book conventions. And he goes, seriously, guys, give it a chance.
Yeah, it's been 20 years.
Like, I mean, more or less, he was just like, shut your mouth. Listen, I was a part of that. I was a part of one of the spinoffs.
Sarah Michelle Gellar said the same thing. She
yeah.
was, give it a chance.
I'm going to
give... It, which itself was already a spin from a movie that starred, what was it, Luke...
Yeah, Luke Perry.
Luke Perry,
and,
Christy... is it Swanson?
Yes.
Is that right?
And one of the best dying scenes ever, Pee-wee Herman, Paul Reubens.
Good old Paul Reubens. Yeah. If you are only a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan from the WBUPN like series, go back and check out the movie. Like, it's not better than the series.
No.
But you start understanding where Joss Whedon probably went, this didn't work.
Yes.
I need to change this for that.
Yes. Still love
kind
that
of
death
like
scene.
A better version of what M. Night Shyamalan thought he was going to do with Avatar: Last Airbender, because he thought he was going to make four movies.
No, no, never, M. Night. Unless it is Unbreakable, Glass, and what's the
Sixth Sense?
No, the one. No, I actually have issues with Sixth Sense.
I have issues.
What's the
with
one
many
that
things?
James? What he just did it with Split.
Oh yeah, I haven't
Split,
seen
Split, Unbreakable. And I'm like, I haven't seen Glass yet, obviously, but I'm going to tell you, that looks like a return to solid form. M. Night Shyamalan does not have a blameless filmography, but I'm telling you right now.
I will never forget him for Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I'm over it.
If Glass is not the truth, like, then maybe my instincts are off.
Now,
but they're doing a reboot of Avatar, and if he's anywhere near that series, I will lose it.
You've put a lot of energy into that. I understand. We're also excited about... See, now I'm going to forget what I was going to say. Oh, that's right. Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Is getting
the dark
rebooted.
Side. And Charmed, also.
The Sabrina reboot.
Sabrina looks interesting.
Well, you've got the... if any of you are familiar with Mad Men, the daughter... On there, Sally, the actress that played her, she is Sabrina this time around. And I don't know that it's necessarily as dark as Riverdale has been on the CW.
I've heard Riverdale is really dark. I haven't seen it, but I heard it
but
went like...
But I think it's not going to be your Melissa Joan Hart or like Sabrina the Teenage Witch animated like Saturday morning. If you're going into it expecting that, this is going to have a bit more of a... Probably an occult flavor to it.
But it's not going to be full-on evil.
No, it's not like it's not going to be an M-rated take on it, but I'm just saying, like, if you were a fan of, again, the TGIF Melissa Joan Hart-led Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I do not get the feeling, and I haven't watched any of these episodes yet, I don't get a feeling that they're trying to duplicate that.
No, I don't think about that at all. Now, name me a show that you think should be rebooted. Ready, go.
Firefly.
Duh. I mean, other than the obvious, Adam.
But that's always my answer.
Like, I know. Firefly.
My answers begin and end with that. And then I get mad that there's not more seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation.
If you haven't seen Firefly, then shame on you.
Another Joss Whedon thing that was killed before its time.
I know.
It is honestly some of the best television. Didn't even show all the episodes during its original run.
Like, are they available now?
Yes.
Merlin needs to be rebooted. Just saying.
Yeah, I know.
My idea for the reboot of Firefly, I want Joss Whedon to write and direct it. I want him to recast all of the original actors and just put it in the Marvel universe. I don't really want him to reboot it at all. I just want him to rehire everyone and
you just want
make
the series
them,
to continue.
And make them friends with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
You just want it to continue
pretty much
with some of the people that you also like.
Yes.
As Anna Grace enters the cosplay world of nerdery, you'll be seeing a lot of Firefly aficionados and brown coats and this and that. It's basically space cowboys.
Malcolm Reynolds, if for some reason James Kirk and Han Solo had a child, that's
Captain
Mal Reynolds.
Hmm.
Oh my God. Like, it's Nathan Fillion, who, if you are unaware of him.
You just saw him in Lemony Snicket. His character got killed off.
Nathan Fillion.
The brother to Lemony.
Yes.
The one that Olaf.
Him.
Spoiler, sorry.
In the proper universe, like, there's an alternate universe where Firefly was just, it was renewed season after season, and that was Nathan Fillion's, that was his John McClane. Like, he was inseparable from that character. It brought him worldwide wild acclaim. Like, they even did, Universal even bankrolled a film called Serenity. They got to tie up all of this stuff. I mean, if that tells you the popularity, the eventual cult popularity of this, a canceled television series got its own film. Like, it really is like just this wonderful blend of like Western science fiction and witty Joss Whedon writing. I cannot honestly. They did more in the handful of episodes of Firefly and Serenity than they were able to do in four seasons of Enterprise.
And you can watch it on Hulu. And it aired in 2002, so we're coming up on 20 years, so it would not be unreasonable
for them
to recast it.
I know that I just smacked her hand for yelling about rebooting Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but that had 7 seasons, okay? They had their time. They had a chance. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get a full season of Firefly.
I know.
And whatever.
I was watching this thing week after week. Like, yeah. I didn't, there was no streaming, like DVD seasons were not affordable yet. I did what I could to keep this thing on the air, and Fox spat in my face. They spat.
Now,
maybe not physically.
Now, as bad as that is, me being as old as I am, for me, it emotionally ruins it when I find something I really, really like, let's say Merlin, and then it just stops. And
it concluded its story.
I don't
right.
care.
How many episodes of Merlin did you get?
5 seasons.
Okay.
That's not
Hush.
Enough.
Okay. You got 5 seasons of Merlin. Like,
it concluded.
You got
the complete volume of that. Firefly is, what is it, 11 episodes? And it doesn't even conclude that story.
Like, I know.
They aired them out of order. Like, Fox did everything it could to kill this thing. And I am still 16 years later, I am still complaining about this.
Okay, you've heard me talk about Han shot first and things like that.
Yeah. I saw, okay, when we were at, I think it was Epcot or Magic Kingdom, I saw somebody with a shirt that said Han shot
yes,
first.
Yes, I know, which makes them awesome. That dialogue is just as valid today as Firefly.
And it's just...
And how it ended and how it left a scar and a blight upon us all.
I'm just like...
Merlin left me a scar, okay?
You had 5 seasons. Shut up. I'll just turn your mic off.
How many episodes were there a season of Merlin? I'm just, what? Let's say it's lowered and you only got 12.
Let's
okay.
say 12.
Right. So you got what? 60 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, Firefly, right? Like, okay. Let's say you have fallen in love for the first time and you finally get to kiss.
It's
the most perfect, but eventually you will. You finally get to kiss, and it's the most perfect kiss.
Again, I'm keeping your mic off.
It is the most perfect kiss. Like, all of the stars align. I'm just telling you, there is no better moment. You have found the one, and you want to be with them the rest of your life, and then they move to Europe.
That's Firefly.
That's Firefly for you right there. I'm just telling you, like, this show was just...
It was everything.
Perfect. It was perfect. It was witty. It was weekly.
Nathan, it was different.
Nathan Fillion was married to a character in a way that only Christopher Reeve has been to Superman, Robert Downey Jr. has to Iron Man, or Gandalf was to Ian McKellen. That's how perfect this casting was. And they ripped it.
You're saying it like Gandalf is the real person and Ian McKellen is the character.
Have you seen the bit where he's explaining Stephen Colbert, like, acting?
No.
Oh, Ian McKellen does this. He does this bit where he's explaining to Stephen Colbert. It's like acting lessons from him. And he goes into it and he's like, "Now, you are aware I am not a wizard." Like, and it's just, and like, Colbert is just like, it is worth looking up. But I'm just saying, Nathan Fillion as Captain Malcolm Reynolds was just perfectly married to a character in the same way that Bruce Campbell was to Ash in Evil Dead and Army of Darkness. Like, just an inseparable entity from that. And for some reason, it did not connect with the masses the way that it should, and it didn't get that second set of life like Star Trek eventually did, or
Family Guy
eventually did. For some reason, Firefly just stopped there. But I'm just telling you, like, and it's not even going to take you that long. It's not like you've got to, if you tell somebody to get into
3 hours later.
If we were to, if we get into, right, well, you know what? You said Firefly, or I did. Somebody said Firefly, and this is what happens when people make me talk about Firefly.
I've been getting so many messages from your wife. Are you done yet? Are you done yet?
Right.
Are you done yet?
I'll talk to her about Firefly.
And then she'll rip your head off.
You know what fascinates me? There are some people who don't have conversations like this, or even know what we're talking about.
Or
see everyone
let's say
at my
they
school.
Do, but like, it doesn't boil their blood when somebody mentions
know.
I don't know.
I don't get that.
I don't either.
Just how do they live?
Like when people say Star Wars or Star Trek, if that does not get someone angry, I'm just like, okay, you're all wrong.
I have the solution. Both.
Yeah.
Just both.
Yeah.
Both is great, but people will get into arguments over this. And when people don't even say anything about it, I'm like, okay, there's something wrong with this, and it needs to leave.
But if you can't watch it screaming, I have the Blu-rays, I have the DVDs, I have the comic book series that like expand on this universe. If you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you like Joss Whedon in general, if you have not deep dived into Firefly, I want to say it's his masterwork.
You know what? Because it's fall break for us, I'm going to ruin her life, show her the pittance of Firefly shows, and then make her feel our pain.
Because I'm telling you, about the time, like, you get into, like, you are just, you're steamrolling through it. Like, you get up to, like, episode 10, and you're like, yeah, then you get that. And, like, you're expecting closure, like, I don't know, every television series you've ever loved.
Yeah.
Like,
and you don't get it? That sounds infuriating.
I'm telling you, you don't even get an episode to conclude it. It just stops. It just stops.
At least
now you get a film. You got it the film.
But still.
They don't even have like
it just
on
stopped.
YouTube. Oh, this is what
there was no YouTube in 2002.
Yeah, but later the creators being like, I don't know, the news or YouTube.
No. Joss Whedon did eventually like do some comic books, but I'm just saying like you never got that official live action canon until the Serenity movie.
That
and
would be so annoying.
It's solid and it's interesting, but like I wanted six more Serenity movies. I wanted seven more and you don't get it. And when you watch it and you understand how well it works and like it just confuses you why it stopped.
Yeah. I'm mad about it all over again. You'll also recognize all the actors from all their other jobs they got after, whatever.
Which is probably actually the reason why you never saw Firefly
again.
Get to reunite. Because all of the actors go on to really sit, like Nathan Fillion had, what was it, Castle?
Yeah.
Ran for 7-8 seasons on ABC. Like, you have one of the Baldwins on there. Like, these are legitimate. The Monica Barin ends up going to, she's in the two Deadpool movies.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the first season of Homeland, I think. I'm just saying, like, all of these people went on to more successful. Oh, that hurts me. I'm going to stroke out. I'm going to throw up on air.
You're like, going to blow.
I can't do it anymore.
You're going to blow a fuse.
I'm going to cry.
Okay, so Firefly, there it is. So that's our show on British stuff to watch.
British stuff
and Firefly. Oh, Grace, I'm going to ruin you
take
with that.
The sea.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
You can't take the sky from me.
Anyway, there's a lot of stuff that we need to watch, and we will talk about it next week if you have suggestions. How much stuff is in that wallet, Adam? It's the 21st century.
It's my TARDIS.
Wow.
I have a TARDIS wallet.
Anyway,
nice.
Thank you so much for staying with us, and I hope you are just as upset about Firefly as we still are. Thank you, Anna Grace, for chiming in. Mm-hmm. I am Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.